Well, my name is Dr. Liz Tussler-Meyer, and I am an audiologist in an independent private practice. My office is in Deerfield, Illinois, which is a northern North Shore suburb of Chicago. And the practice that I work at is, it's independent, it's private practice, and we take care of patients, primarily hearing aid patients. We do some tinnitus. We don't do any balance, and we also do some home audiology care. So that includes going to different residential communities as well as patients' individual homes. My background is that I wanted to be an audiologist pretty early on. My brother was diagnosed with central auditory processing disorder, and I saw the impact an audiologist made on his life when I was younger, and it was profound. And when I was about 13, 14, and we were doing those career questionnaires in, you know, middle school, early high school, that's when I decided I wanted to be an audiologist. I have an aunt who is in private practice in speech therapy in North Dakota, and I considered that route a little bit like many of our colleagues, but I ended up really falling in love with audiology and the ability to impact treatment and counseling, and it was a better fit for me. As far as my schooling, I am from northern Wisconsin, and I went to the University of Minnesota for my undergraduate degree. I have a degree in speech and hearing science, with a minor in business and an emphasis, totally unrelated, in Scandinavian women's studies, which was terribly interesting but hasn't been real useful in my career. I did my doctorate degree at Northern Illinois University, which is about an hour and a half west of the city of Chicago. And my research when I was at the University of Minnesota was on the brain and hearing, as well as OAE research. And when I was at Northern, NIU, I did research on normative studies in terms of the prevalence of hearing loss in Brazil and children in Brazil.
So in terms of the practice setting, how did you decide the practice setting in which you wanted to work, and what is it about you that makes you well-suited for your current position?
Oh, so actually it stems from networking. When I was a student at some of the conventions, I met the practice owners that I'm currently at ADA, when I was a second year, and then I saw them again at the Audigy Team Summit, and I connected with them about the student business plan. When I got to know the practice that I'm currently at, the practice owner, Dr. Gostomelski, and her practice manager, who's also her husband, I knew that that's where I wanted to end up. There was another practice that I was interested in the Chicagoland area, but I knew that what I was interested in terms of private practice and putting the patient first, this was the right practice for me. So it's a very small private practice that is about quality and not quantity per se. We have a lot of time with our patients. Our structure of time really puts the patient first. I really appreciated what they stood for and the kind of treatment that they provide. So I kept in contact with them. I did the Audigy University program. So I lived in Vancouver, Washington for about 4 months where I did the Audigy program. That was a really good experience for me. And throughout that time, they helped me connect with this practice, some other practices, and put together what I was looking for in a career. So when I was completed with that program, I had kept in contact with the practice that I'm currently at, and they created a position for me. This was the area that I wanted to be in. My husband, now, at that point, he was my fiance, I believe, when I was getting to know them, or maybe just my boyfriend, I'm not exactly sure. He was located in the northern suburbs of Chicago in Lake Forest. And so I knew that I wanted to be close to him. And that's where I wanted to set down roots. Now, what makes me good for the career I'm in? I think that I'm flexible, and I think that networking and marketing comes easy for me. We're very small. There's only five of us total in the practice. You know, it's three audiologists, a patient care coordinator, and then our practice manager. And so I do a lot of our marketing. I do all of our grassroots networking. I do a lot in terms of getting our name out in the community, and that seems to be something that comes naturally to me. I also think it's helpful that I'm a recent graduate. The practice that I'm in, one of the audiologists has 35 years of experience. Another has 18 years of experience. And so being a young practitioner, I have something to bring to the table. They have a great deal of experience, and their experience is invaluable. I find that there are times where I can help them out as well, because I'm most up to date with current research and technology from going to school just finishing my doctorate a couple years ago.
What is a typical work week like for you?
You probably hear this a lot, but I don't have a typical work week. I do a ton of marketing and networking in the community. I have 2 days, 2 to 3 days, and I'm actually in the office seeing patients in the office. The rest of the time, I'm working on our marketing. I'm working on getting our name out in the community. I also do home visits and assisted living kind of appointments, and so I do a lot of traveling. I do webinars. A lot of times I'm working from home, and I'm writing my patient notes. I'm working on our website. I don't have a typical work week. I really don't. I have places that I go to a couple times a month. I have patients that I see regularly in the office, but outside of those 2 to 3 days in the office, I'm kind of all over the place, which is something that I think suits me well, and that I like to be stretched. I like to be creative, and I like to find new ways to bring patients in.
What's the most challenging aspects about what you do, and then maybe the most rewarding? And they may be the same, but maybe address those.
Absolutely. I think based on where my niche has turned into, I see a lot of patients with dementia. So I see a lot of patients with cognitive impairments or dementia, and that's just where my referrals have kind of gone towards. The physicians in the area that have started to use my services. That's the most challenging and the most rewarding. I've had plenty of situations where I've dealt with combative patients where I don't really know exactly what to expect, or some of my patients are nonverbal, and it's been difficult to provide the kind of care that I want to. It feels to some degree that I have to do more educated guess in terms of, you know, the fitting of the patient and so forth, because they can't necessarily always provide the kind of feedback I'd like to. So I try to use evidence-based practice as much as I possibly can, but there are some times where I'm not able to. So that's been the most challenging. The most rewarding is the same thing. There are not many places that do home visits like we do, where we do real ear verification, and we do we try to use evidence-based practice as much as possible for our patients with dementia and seeing them remotely. So it's the most rewarding in that some of my patients, they hadn't been seen for a long time. And then I can come in and I can make a remarkable change in their life. That's the most rewarding for me, working with families, insurance, Medicare restrictions, remote testing, all of that is challenging, but it's also rewarding at the same time.
In your view, how does working in a private practice differ from other settings in audiology?
I think the biggest difference is that you have to bring in your own patients. It's not that you're getting all your referrals just kind of put on your desk. I have to go out and get my patients. I have to make connections within the area and do a lot more than just seeing patients. Other places that I've been at, you know, you're busy and your patients come in. I did my fourth year residency at the VA hospital, and we were busy constantly, and we never had to go out and get patients. We actually had a problem getting them in because there were so many at our fingertips. And so it's different in that you're not just seeing patients. You're working on marketing. You're working on the business side of it. You're creating a reputation in the area. It's more, in my career at least, there's a lot more that I have to do in order to get the practice going than just seeing patients.
What advice would you offer someone considering this career path?
I guess to be creative and not have an idea of what you think your career is going to be like. I didn't know that so much of my time would be to get patients through our door. We're in a very highly competitive area. I know that. But I didn't know that so much of my time was going to be getting patients to come through the door. So my advice would be is keep a business perspective that, you know, you can't help unless they come through your door. You can't see patients unless you have your name established in the community. My advice would be is to use evidence-based practice to do a lot behind the scenes to gain the patient and their family's trust, and work very hard on your reputation first, because that's what's going to make you grow.
Sounds like one of the common misconceptions that people have about what you do is really the amount of time, as you say, that you spend really informing and educating the community around you, and I think that is a big misconception. Are there any others that people might have about what you do?
I think one of the misconceptions, and this is partly to do with what kind of practice you land in, but the idea that you have to bring your own patients in, that they don't just come on your desk, that they don't just walk through your door. That's the case for me. I mean, I knew what I was getting myself into, but I guess I think there's a lot of a misconception of, I'm going to come in and the patients are already there and I don't necessarily need to go out in the community and make calls to physicians or do presentations regularly. I think there might be a misconception that there's a lot more work that has to be done to bring patients through your door.
And what else would you like people, young audiologists or students, to know about your specific position, if anything?
One of the things that I think people should know is that if they're going to go see patients regularly with dementia, especially going into communities, especially dementia care communities, that you need to go in knowing what you're doing, and you have to go in with a game plan. Getting to know the community and getting to know what to expect, I think that's really important. There's a lot of times where I'll go in and I think I'm going to get through a hearing test or get through Sirumen management, and this patient, you know, it's not going to happen. So I think that one of the things I'd like people to know is that working with home visits, it's not as simple as just opening your doors or getting in your car and going somewhere. There's a lot that has to be done before you can do that. As far as making sure that you're complying with Medicare and insurance, there's a lot that needs to be done with establishing, you know, the point of contact, the POA. How are you going to deal with this? What happens if a patient hits you? Do you have the malpractice insurance? I think there's a lot of private practices that will go into communities and not do the research that is necessary up front. So I think it's important for people to know that if they're going to do this, not only do they have to be okay with being around patients with dementia, because that can be very challenging, but also there's a lot that needs to be done before you actually go into that kind of community. I don't know. Kim has helped me out a ton. Deb Abel's helped me out a ton. I feel like I've invested a great deal of time into doing this correctly, and I still don't know if I'm doing things correctly. So it's so complicated, and there's so much that needs to be established. I mean, there's not a great deal of evidence-based practice as far as testing remotely with dementia patients. I'm still figuring it out. I think I've got a pretty good handle on it. I'm not concerned about getting audited or something like that, but I'm sure that I don't have it all figured out yet.